Welcome to Titus Tuesday. And I guess turn your Bibles to Hebrews. We will be in some passages in Hebrews, but we're going to be all over the place. And some of the scripture will be on the screen for you to follow along with there too, because we're going to jump around. For those of you that are new to Live Abundantly this semester, I am Christy Willis. And our focus on these Titus Tuesdays is to apply the principles that we find in the book of Titus, chapter 2, to our lives. And today we're going to be speaking about prayer. And I think prayer is a requirement for the growth and really the survival of a Titus 2 woman, as well as it is essential to living the abundant life. But we need to understand that prayer is being on holy ground. It is. And so we want to first submit this time into God's hands, if you'll pray with me. Lord, we just come before you now, and we just surrender this time to you. We surrender ourselves, and we surrender our hearts. Lord, just let us let go of whatever happened this morning as we were getting here, or last night, or over the weekend, Lord. And Holy Spirit, just take those things and fill us with you. Show us what you have for us. Show us the blessings and the promises that we have in prayer. And Lord, we ask that you just ignite our hearts with a new passion for prayer. We lift this time in your name. Lord, just you be the words. You be the message. Lord, let my words be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, I've entitled this, She Prays. And we're going to go through four areas. She prays with promise, with purpose, with process, and with passion. So first, she prays with promise. Now, when we're talking about prayer, we're talking about the communication that we, as believers, have with the Almighty Holy God, the Great I Am. Just let that sink in for a minute. Prayer is a precious gift. It's a privilege. It's a promise. And I think that sometimes we take it for granted. I know that I do. And occasionally I think we just need to be reminded where that privilege came from and what it really cost for us to have that privilege. We were created by the Almighty God, and he created us because he loved us before we even existed. And his desire was that we'd be with him forever, for eternity. But we, as sinful, selfish human beings, we mess that plan up. You know the story, beginning with Adam and Eve, and that our sinful thoughts and our actions just rendered us unworthy to be in the presence of a holy, perfect God. Our sins separated us from God. There was a barrier, a curtain, if you will, between us. And nothing we could do would allow us access to God. We could not, on our own, make ourselves worthy to stand again before God. So the all-powerful, all-loving, all-good God, whom we sinned against, sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to live with us, to teach us, and to die for us on the cross. His death, his sacrifice is what paid for our sin. His shed blood cleansed us. He broke the barrier, tore the curtain that separated us from God. His sacrifice makes us worthy to again stand before God. Access to God in prayer is a promise that cost a great deal. It's a promise that we don't really deserve and one that we shouldn't take lightly. Hebrews 10, 20 and 22 says, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. The God of the universe never intended there would be separation between himself and us. He didn't create us to walk through this crazy life without him. Our Lord God is always available, waiting for us to come to him with anything, any question, any hurt, any heartache, any concern, any joy, any dream, any plan, any guilt, any mistake, anything. As we talk to him about our lives, he is our comfort. He is our strength. He is our guide. He is our hope. And ladies, prayer accesses hope. Psalm 39:7 says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." With that kind of promise and that kind of power and that kind of love available to us, why don't we spend every minute talking and listening to God? You know, why do we ever head off in our own direction? Why do we go in our own strength and power when we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit waiting in anticipation to love and guide us? I don't know. We do that. My answer, I think, is that sometimes we just stop just short of complete faith in the power of prayer. We think we believe in the power of prayer, but do we really? You know, see, I know that in our minds and in our hearts, we understand and we accept that we can talk to God about everything. If I ask you that, I think you would agree with me. We know he'll listen. We know he has a plan for us. We know that he has unlimited power and that his solutions are very creative. They're infinite. We trust that he is a good God and he only wants good for us. I know that we do that. But the bottom line is we know that he can answer prayer. But do we truly believe that he will answer prayer? And do we truly believe that he will answer our prayers? It's one thing to pray, and it's another thing to truly believe in the answer. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Without faith, we cannot believe. If we don't believe, we won't know the answer. Will he answer our prayers? Yes, 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 he will. He wants us to trust this truth, to trust him with every part of our lives. God is honored and blessed when we go to him with prayer, when we surrender the details of our lives into his hands. He desires to pour his highest and his best blessings on us. God wants to give, but he requires that we have the faith not only to ask, but the faith to receive. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's already well aware before we come to him what is going on, what we need. He could run out ahead of us. He could jump in. He could arrange everything. But he wants us to place our trust in him enough to ask in faith of receiving. Matthew 7:7-8. You've all heard this, but ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. See, prayer has nothing to do with ritual or routine or a feeling of obligation. Prayer has everything to do with knowing and believing that God, who loves you more than you can even fathom, will handle the things you bring to him. He said he would, and he will. Hebrews 10:23 in the New Living Translation says, "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises." God wants to give, but he requires that we come to him in faith. When we pray, we need to pray with promise. But we also need to pray with purpose. See, prayer is defined as communicating with God. We talk to Him and He's listening. He listens to us and He speaks back to us through His Word and through other people. We can discuss anything with God. We should share everything about our lives with Him. We should bring everything to the table. But we need to understand that when we're praying, we're not attempting to change God's mind or convince Him or manipulate Him or negotiate with God. God already knows the facts. He knows the end from the beginning. He has the big picture much better than we do. He knows what is His best plan for us in every circumstance. The purpose of prayer is to come honestly and humbly before God and ask Him to align our will with His. Sincere prayer is really about surrendering our heart to His, our ideas to His, our desires for His. It's kind of like in prayer that we relinquish our hold on the wheel and we let God drive and we trust that where He's taking us is exactly where we need to be. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And oh, that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him." If we come to Him in His will, He hears us. When He hears us, we can trust and have faith that He will answer us. There's such freedom in the system that God created. He knows each of us. He created us. He knows our personalities. He knows our strengths. He knows our faults. When we've humbly come to God, just as we are, transparent as the person He made us to be, He is faithful to line up our ideas and dreams and hopes with His perfect will for us. When we ask something of God in prayer, we are in essence handing it off to Him, releasing it to Him, and trusting a good God to answer in His timing and His way. Therefore, sometimes we must accept the fact that His answers look different than what we were expecting, but we trust that He knows what He's doing. Our human nature says, I need to handle this. I need a solution. I need answers. I need relief. But don't you see that when you're praying, you have a solution? You are handling it. You have taken your concerns and you have placed them in the care of the Almighty, all-powerful God. You give it to Him and then you ask Him to direct your steps. He'll have assignments for you. There's work to be done, but He will lead and you will follow. The bottom line truth is that prayer isn't about us at all. It's all about God. The focus of our prayer shouldn't be on us. It should be on God. We are allowed access behind that curtain. We are standing with God, and we have His undivided attention. We need to get our eyes off of us and onto Him, and let us cover Him, and let Him cover us with that hope, with that mercy, with that peace, whatever it is we are asking of Him. He has so much for us if we just get out of our own way. So again, why doesn't this truth just overtake us and prayer be the first thing we always do? And I think it's because prayer is a habit of the heart and mind that we need to develop. We need to encourage it. And we can learn to pray with process. So, excuse me, right up front, let me say that there aren't hard and fast rules about prayer. It's your private conversation with God. But let's be honest, I'm being honest, do you ever struggle with prayer? I mean, do you forget to pray? Do you get, your mind is traveling all over the board? Have you ever fallen asleep? I've fallen asleep. I felt a little bit better this week when I read this book by Max Lucado, and he struggled with the same thing. He says he's part of the PWA, the Prayer Wimps Association. And I said, yes. You know, God's Word has guidelines for prayer, and it will help us wimpy prayers. But before we talk about what prayer might look like, let's talk about what it doesn't look like. In Matthew 6, Jesus is telling his disciples, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't use just repetitive words. Don't stand where everyone can see you. They were standing in the synagogues and the street corners. He said they've already gotten everything they're going to get from that prayer. He says, no, you go into your room, shut the door, pray to the Father in the secret place, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Prayer is not a show. God is not interested in the most eloquent vocabulary or the best use of Christianese. He is not impressed by the longest prayer or the loudest prayer. His desire is for each of us to come and lay our hearts out before him. Whatever is honest and real and vulnerable for you is what prayer should look like. Mine are not going to look the same as yours or the lady sitting next to you. God is not comparing, and he is not giving an award for the best prayer, and we shouldn't compare ourselves either. The power of prayer really, in essence, doesn't have anything to do with how you pray or where you pray or when you pray. The power of prayer is found in the one to whom you pray. Jesus' disciples watched him praying, as you looked at a little bit in your homework this week, and they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them a sample prayer. We find it in Luke chapter 11. We refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. And we could spend weeks on that, but we're just going to look at a couple of the guidelines that are found in that prayer. Jesus began by instructing his disciples to address God as our Father. In the original language, that is Abba, Abba Father. It is the most personal, relational reference to Father. It can really be likened in English to Dad or Daddy. So start there. Go, oh, Daddy. Then Jesus told his disciples, after you greet God, acknowledge who you're talking to. Spend some time praising him. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's all-powerful, all-loving. Spend some time reminding yourself of that and praising him. Now, I know sometimes this conversation doesn't come naturally. It takes some practice. It may feel awkward to say, hey, Daddy, my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, it's just not how we work. I love how Chuck Swindoll described this. He says, we are asking for intimacy with the Almighty. Intimacy with the Almighty. That is exactly what we're doing, and that is exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do. Go for it, because the truth is our Daddy is our Lord. We are his child, and he wants us to come to him as he is our Father. By praising God, we are shifting our focus from our needs and our wants and our weaknesses to his strength and his magnificence. We begin to align our hearts with God's, and that is the purpose of prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly in praise, in thanksgiving. Now, after we acknowledge the goodness of God, Jesus was telling his disciples, then we need to acknowledge that really we're not so good. You know, we need to admit what we have done. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to ask the Lord to help us forgive others that have wronged us. God willingly forgives, and we can start with a clean slate. And then Jesus told his disciples to bring their prayers and requests for themselves and for other people. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. Pray for your needs and the needs of the people around you. This sometimes is where I would struggle and my mind would just wander. I mean, it was so hard for me to stay focused. I'd be praying for my husband and then I'd think, oh man, I didn't get his shirts from the cleaners. Oh yeah, besides the cleaners, I need to go to the bank. Oh, I didn't call about the Comcast bill or whatever, you know, pretty soon I am off and running. 10 minutes pass and where was I? Am I the only one that ever does that? What is so helpful to me is to remember we are sitting before God. Picture Him in the seat in front of you. We are having an intimate conversation. Share with Him your deep concerns, let's say, about your children, like you would if your best friend was sitting there. And then just place your children in His hands. Just talk to Him. Tell Him you are so frustrated at work that you just don't know what to do, and ask Him to help with that situation. Cry about that frightening diagnosis and ask the Lord to take care of it. Tell Him you are overwhelmed today. He wants that burden. Just talk with Him. In all requests, ask the Lord to handle them in His perfect way. Ask the Lord to align your thoughts with His plans with yours, and your desires with His will. Jesus told His disciples to pray, "Thy will be done." And end your prayer by acknowledging that you are praying in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Savior whose death bought you this access to God. Now, let's be honest. Often our prayer times aren't as leisurely, as organized as this sounds. We don't always have a big block of time. That's fine. We apply the same principles as we pray through our day. Don't use the excuse that you don't have time to pray to keep you from praying. Prayer has no restrictions. It can be planned or can be spontaneous, but it should be ongoing. As you get out of bed, hand your day to the loving God. As you're driving your children to school, ask the protector to watch over them. When you get stressed throughout the day, ask Him for His peace. When your friend brings you something she's struggling with, lift that burden right then. Prayer is constantly keeping yourself in communication and reliance on the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." I know that sometimes prayer is the last thing we want to do. Sometimes it's just too difficult to be that vulnerable and then know you still have to hold it all together. But I'm telling you, in those times when it's hardest to pray, that's when you need to pray the hardest. And sometimes we come before the Lord, our heart is just too tender, our burden feels too heavy, we are too overwhelmed, we have no words, we hardly have any thoughts, we don't know what to pray, we don't even really know what we want. In those times, you just cry out, "Oh, Daddy," and your silence will speak for you. He understands what is happening. He knows what you don't yet know. He has provided prayer coverage in those times when we have no idea what to pray. Romans 8:26 gives that promise, "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning that cannot be uttered." Bring it before the Lord. That is what He is asking. He will take it from there. When we come to the place where we realize that prayer is essential to every part of our life, we will pray without thinking. It begins to be our natural reaction and our natural response. But before this happens, I think two things need to come into play. The first is that prayer takes practice. Now, that may not sound as spiritual as we'd like it to, but it does. Anything that we desire to do well takes practice. So do what you need to do. Set some goals for yourself. Set an alarm on your phone to remind you. Make notes. Have an accountability partner. Whatever will help you begin to be more consistent. But even before we practice, we need to develop a passion for prayer. A passion. It's really difficult to practice anything that we don't have a passion for. So then how do we learn to pray with passion? First of all, we go to the Lord and we ask Him to give us that desire, that confidence, and that passion for prayer. Ask Him to make real these promises and these truths that He has freely given us concerning prayer. And once you know that He is always there, that He will answer your prayers, that He can handle anything, that you are never alone, you will begin to develop a new passion for prayer. Once you recognize the power of prayer that is available to you, you will never want to be far from it. You will always want to be able to grab hold and tap into that. One precious way that God reveals these truths to us is through the experiences and testimonies of the people that He brings into our lives. We have the blessing and the privilege of learning deep lessons from one another as we live life together. This is the essence of Titus 2, that we encourage and we instruct one another. I have learned so much about real and sincere and effective prayer from women that God has brought into my life. I am eternally grateful for the lessons that they've exhibited and shown me. There have been many women that have taught me, but I hope that you are blessed by the hearts and lessons of the five women that you're about to see. Watch this video.
Since I came to the Lord, the least favorite phrase I hear is, "I guess all we can do is pray." Every time I hear that, it makes me cringe, because what the Lord taught me early on was that's the first thing we need to do. Prayer builds your faith. Prayer strengthens your trust in the Lord. Prayer brings guidance. Prayer just activates what the Lord wants to do. When I think about prayer, I think about the scripture that says pray without ceasing. And prayer without ceasing doesn't mean that you're on your knees 24/7. It means that you include Him in every single part of your daily life. And so if somebody asks me to pray for them, I usually will say, well, let's pray right now. And there's many stories that I have, but one that's fresh in my mind that always comes to me is a teacher that had a little boy in her class, and she's a friend of mine, and the little boy asked for prayer for his dad that was struggling with addiction. And she came and one evening and she asked for prayer. And I said, well, let's pray right now. And I asked her what the name of the dad was, and she said, I don't know. And I said, well, let's pray anyway. God knows. So that night we did pray for him and for his family. And the next day I get a phone call. I didn't know who it was at the time, but it was his wife. And she said, you prayed for us yesterday. Are you going to be at the house that we can stop by? And I said, yes, I'll be there in 5 minutes. We hang up the phone, and I had no clue if it was a good thing or a bad thing that I had prayed for them that night. And they drove up, and he was still drunk at the time and didn't want to get down. But they did get down finally, and they came in and we started talking, and the Lord just moved. And that day he and his wife both gave their lives to the Lord, and that was about 3.5 years ago. And he's still sober, and they are serving the Lord with all their hearts. And so that just continues to remind me each and every day that we need to include the Lord in our every single day prayers, and pray first before we pick up the phone, before we start to panic, before we start to worry, because prayer builds trust, trust in the Lord. And there's nothing too big and there's nothing too small. Some people think that they don't want to bother him with the little things, but he loves us and he cares for you, so he does care about those little things. And so I just encourage you all to start with prayer. It's just opening that communication with him, because you will draw closer to him and you will have a deeper relationship with him, because it all starts with prayer.
I've learned throughout my walk to pray scripture, and the reason being is because 1 John 5:14 says that we can have confidence that if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. So I want to make sure that my prayers for my family are in line with God's will. So I think it's just more powerful. If we're praying God's word over our families, we're in essence praying God over our families, because God is the word. So I have these scripture cards that I typed out and laminated, and they come from a couple of different devos. An example of a prayer for my daughter would be, Lord, let her learn early in life to obey you. That God, this is the only, let her know that this is the best way to the life her heart truly desires. And that comes from 1 Samuel 15:22. For my son, it would be, may my son walk after you and fear you and keep your commandments and obey your voice. May he serve you and hold fast to you. Deuteronomy 13:4. And I've seen firsthand God answer these specific prayers by a direction he's changed my children, or just certain things in their life. And I think prayer is a conversation with God. And I think it can happen anywhere. For me, quiet time in the morning, if my study goes a little long and I don't have time to get on my knees and go before the Lord and pray, I pray in the shower, or I pray in my car on the way to work, or I pray at work. I'll go in the bathroom, get on my knees if I feel led to pray. So it can happen anywhere. And I've seen God answer these prayers, and I think that that's just so powerful. So for me, it's the only way I pray. And if you want to know if your prayers are in line with God's will, look up scripture, find out, and pray his word back to him.
One area I have continually grown in my walk is in prayers of obedience. I have a stubborn streak a mile wide, and like Paul in the Bible, the good that I want to do, I don't always do, and the evil that I hate, that is usually what I practice. I know what I'm supposed to do, but sometimes I just don't want to, and that results in an absolute struggle of my will against God's. I know what obedience looks like, but sometimes I foolishly think that my way is better, or that I have reasons for wanting what I want. The biggest area that I struggle in this is my marriage. And that's because early on, 6 months in, we thought we had made the biggest mistake of our lives, and I wanted to be released from my marriage. It was so incredibly broken that I didn't think there was anything to save, and I asked God to release me. As a God of reconciliation, he said no. And so I knew at that point that the prayer of obedience meant that I had to pray for God to reconcile my marriage. But the problem is, at that point, I didn't even want to reconcile it. I didn't want it to be fixed. But I knew that God's will was for it to be fixed. So I began to pray for my want to. I began to pray for the desire for him to fix my marriage. And he was very faithful in that, because the other prayer I prayed at that time was that he would also bring my heart and emotions into line with his will, because they weren't. And God was very faithful in those prayers. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't quickly, but God gave me the desire to want to reconcile my marriage. But in that time, I also learned that I had to change the way I prayed, because so often I prayed, God, take my anger. God, take my frustration. God, take my bitterness. But as I held on to those things with an ironclad fist, God was not going to wrestle me for them. So I actually had to willingly give them over to him. I had to say, God, I give you my anger. But I also had to ask him to replace it with something from himself. So God, please take my anger, I give it to you, but replace it with peace. Please take my bitterness, replace it with grace. Please take my frustration, replace it with understanding. And he was so faithful in that time to do that. Prayers of obedience are not always easy, but God has always shown me what he can do, even when I'm not ready, but if I'm obedient. If I lay my heart down before him, if I lay my flesh down before him, he will always change the situation. And oftentimes he changes me. And so far, that's been a win-win deal for me.
So prayer for me started about 2 years ago. Deep prayer, like constantly waiting on the Lord, making sure that we never got ahead of him, because it's so easy to make a decision that's not in his will. And so I made a commitment to get up with my husband at 5 a.m. and pray for our son. And our son was in a really dark place. So I decided that I needed to be really purposeful in my prayers and to pray along with my husband, so we could both just go to the Lord and lift him up. And we prayed diligently for 2 years. And out of that 2 years, he turned his life around. I do believe that it was prayer that did that. And that it was a lot of prayer, and it was fervent prayer. As it says in the Bible, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We ended up finding a place for him. He's out of state. He's returned to the Lord, and that's God. So then another trial came in the midst of that, and that was my husband. And he got really sick. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we asked the Lord to guide us, because he needed treatment as soon as possible. So we continued in prayer, and we just prayed and prayed. But we had kind of an urgency. We had to have an answer. And so we waited on him, continually praying. And ironically, through prayer from another person who came to visit my husband and I at my husband's office right at Christmas time, he wanted to pray with us when he left. He was from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And when we got done praying, he asked us if we'd ever heard of this place in Phoenix, Arizona. And we had never heard of it. It wasn't even on our radar. But remember, we're still praying, Lord, what do we do? Where do we go? And it was pretty urgent. It was like something that we really felt like time was running out. Clock is ticking. After the gentleman left from Billy Graham Rep, Evangelistic Association, my husband really felt that that was from the Lord. And so that's been our prayer. I mean, we have continually been in prayer. We haven't actually stopped, and we won't. And I can tell you that those prayers is what brought us to the point of not getting ahead of the Lord, because we could have so easily gone to the wrong places and not been in his will. And so we just feel like this is his will for us. And we're very comfortable, and we have a lot of peace about what's going on and with our son. So that's my prayer story. I prayed a lot, and I still do.
Revelation 5:8 has given me a whole different perspective on prayer. It reads, "The four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people." Gold bowls filled with incense, which are our prayers. I guess I've seen some of my prayers as incense, the praises, the thankfulness, the confession, but I've never really seen my petitions in that way, the prayers I pray for others or myself. But whether you've prayed for something one time or you've prayed over and over for years, each prayer is heard. Each prayer is gathered and collected in gold bowls, and it's a sweet incense to our Father. That is such an amazing picture. Our prayers bless Him. Our prayers honor and glorify Him. May we go through our days praying, filling those gold bowls with a sweet, fragrant perfume that honor and glorify and praise our Father in heaven.
See, God is so gracious to use the experiences of others to ignite passion for prayer in us. Keep your eyes open. Observe what other people are doing and how it affects in their lives. Think on the truths that we just heard. Pray first. Pray anytime. Pray anywhere. Align yourself with God's will by praying God's very words back to Him. Pray in obedience to the truth that you know, whether you feel like it or not. Pray fervently, trusting God's timing and direction. And pray to honor, bless, and glorify your Lord. Most of all, just be faithful and be vulnerable to bring your heart and surrender it to God. He is waiting for you to do that. I want to close by sharing an excerpt from a theologian and writer from the 1600s, but it is so appropriate today. So listen carefully. I do think you'll be blessed. Tell God all that is in your heart as one unloads his heart to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles that he may comfort you. Tell him your longings that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes that he may help you conquer them. Talk to him of your temptations that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart that he may heal them. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insecure, how pride disguises you to yourself and to others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust this subject. It is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want for subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there's nothing to be held back. They talk out of the abundance of their heart. Blessed are they who attain to such a familiar, unreserved interaction with God. Let's stand now and let's sing our closing prayer to God. Pray with passion.